In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. While living in the Republic of Georgia, I would see shepherds of Tusheti some autumn mornings, driving their woolly flocks along the highway, men with craggy, weather-beaten faces and thick wooden staffs. They bring the sheep in their charge down to communal plains on the borders of Azerbaijan. In Tusheti in summer, above the tree line, the grass is sweet, but in winter Tusheti is a nearly uninhabitable wilderness of rock and snowbank. The sheep need to get out of there to survive. The way is long and full of perils, and the sheep are dependent on the shepherds and their dogs to see them through. In the passes of the Caucasus Mountains, thousands of feet above sea level, some just stop, exhausted, to die of exposure. Some are taken by wolves and bears. The shepherds are not spared the dangers either. People die every year on these narrow, winding roads among the clouds, often in vehicles pitched over rugged scarps into valleys of death. Who are these men in their rubber boots and knit hats? Most are hired hands, misfits from all over the country. Even in a country with high unemployment, it can be difficult nowadays for the owners of the flocks to find able-bodied men willing to endure this grueling biannual journey. They walk 12 hours a day, no matter what the weather, and spend the nights in hovels or tents. They fuel their bodies with bread, cheese, and a steady stream of scorchingly potent spirits. For the ancient world, the occupation of the shepherd was emblematic of authority. It's easy to see why. These men rule their flocks with an iron hand, both to guide and protect. And without them, the sheep would be lost. Jesus, in our gospel reading, draws on this very old and familiar metaphor to explain the nature of his authority. Let us start by observing that in this passage, Jesus is addressing not his disciples, but a group of Pharisees in Jerusalem. The Judean religious leaders think of themselves as the appointed shepherds of God's people. In their own eyes, they are the ones who wield the staff of divine authority, beating back the wolves and the bears of heretical teaching, benevolently guiding those easily deluded sheep along the straight path of the law of Moses. It's a sacrifice, sure, of their time and talent, but that is the burden of being educated, upright, and anointed. Or so they think to themselves. Yet Jesus calls them strangers to the flock, thieves and robbers. They have just demonstrated their corruption spectacularly. The Pharisees took the joy of a man born blind, whom Jesus healed in the previous chapter of John's Gospel, and rather than share in that joy, they tried to snuff it out. Because he spoke the truth about Jesus, they cast him from their assembly and rebuked him. "You are a born sinner," they said. "You are just an ignorant sheep, and you dare to correct the shepherds." But these men have shown that they are not good shepherds. They are wicked and predatory hirelings. They do not care for the sheep. They lead them to polluted water and trampled pastures. They grow fat on mutton. They shield themselves from winter weather with the best wool while the little ones die of exposure. When the wolf or the robber comes at night, do not look to these shepherds out there with torch and staff. They'll be hiding behind their doors while the sheep scatter and perish, preserving their private islands of comfort while darkness and cloud cover the land. Is our world any different? There is a sad reality in being a sheep. You often hear how stupid and helpless sheep are, but the truth is that we made them that way. The ancestors of our sheep were wild creatures that roamed the highlands of the world, fed and watered by God's own hand. But now they have been tamed, subjugated, bred for docility and dependence, for the production of wool and milk and meat. They are sunk into a degraded condition from which they can never extricate themselves. This also describes the state of the human race since the fall. We have entered voluntarily into slavery. From a paradise on the blue rim of heaven, we have been led down to a bitter wilderness. Our masters are devils, and their master is death. They shatter lives with their stones. They feed on us and leave us prey to the wolves and bears of our flesh. The mountains above are locked in ice. We go astray and forget who we are, wandering on a trackless plain of worldly ambition. But the bubbling streams that once gave us pleasure have run dry. The sun has turned the grass brown and coarse. But now comes Easter. The snowmelt rushes down from the mountainside, and with it the Good Shepherd, the owner of the flock. He knows the name of each one of his lambs, and they know his voice, and they come to him from every corner of the earth. He drives out the wicked hireling and takes them in his own charge. Jesus is the Good Shepherd of the 23rd Psalm, who leads the flock to green pastures and quiet waters, who restores the soul and guides it on paths of righteousness. He is the Good Shepherd painted in the catacombs and tombs of the ancient Christians, bearing the lost sheep on his shoulders or feeding his lambs in the garden of paradise. He is the promised one of the prophecy of Isaiah. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. The Good Shepherd is not like the hirelings of sin. To be known by the hirelings is to be exploited and disfigured, made a slave. To be known by the Good Shepherd is freedom, freedom to live in God and with God. This is because the Good Shepherd is also the Paschal Lamb, the crown and glory of the flock. His image is our image, and his sacrifice our sacrifice. For the hirelings who prey on us for our sinfulness slaughtered him for his righteousness. Yet he rose and put them to flight. He offers us this resurrection into life. He brings us by grace into the very heart of his Father, that we may be known as he is known in the unity of the Trinity. On the journey we all now take into God, into this resurrection life, our highest task is the remembrance of him, and our greatest danger is forgetfulness. We forget when we take the part of the wicked hireling and pass judgment that springs from a sanctimonious ego. We forget when we sink into complacent routines dictated by our own comfort and ease. We forget when we allow our bodies or those of others to be used as mere vehicles for our turbulent pleasure. We forget when the shadows deepen and we look down into the abysses of fear and are transfixed. In all these acts of forgetting, we become less human. We become domesticated creatures who cannot bear to contemplate the terrors of the journey. We linger in the lowlands. We gnaw on the fading grass. We submit to the abuse of the hireling whose only interest is in fleecing us. We prefer the slavery of Egypt to the freedom of the promised land because we have forgotten. We have forgotten that we are called by a name that is truly ours, and it is the duty and joy of our life to live up to it by the power of the love of God. Against this forgetting, we must practice remembrance. We come to remembrance every Sunday in this liturgy. We come to remembrance in daily habits of prayer. We come to remembrance in doing the good work of our Master. The fruit of this remembrance is the freedom of the true human being, Jesus Christ. It is freedom in the likeness of the Good Shepherd himself. The journey of the Christian life is a return to our lost homeland, stage to stage, glory to glory. The Good Shepherd seeks that which was lost and brings again that which was driven away and binds up that which was broken and strengthens that which was sick. He drives away the wolf and the bear. Not one of those who trust in him shall be lost. Those who can walk no more are carried the remaining miles. They are no weight at all to the shoulders that once carried the cross. So hear the voice of the Good Shepherd echoing in the valleys. You are free. You are a mountain creature once more. Cool pastures and still waters lie before you, green tundra in the heart of the blue sky. Remember the words of your Master, who knows and loves you, and be comforted. Our Lord has set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Let this Sunday and this Eastertide be an occasion for joy. Revel in the freedom God has given you, the freedom of forgiveness, which as a member of his flock you are commanded to offer all others with an open hand, the freedom of truth, to know yourself beloved of God, the freedom, finally, of real and ever-deepening communion in the mystical body of the Lamb. O Christ, our Shepherd, who hast sworn by the might of thine hand to pasture thy people among the lilies, gather thy scattered flock from all nations. Lead us on the paths of life to our high homeland, shelter us in thy fold, and grant us always to live in thy resurrection. Amen.